is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
So many live a life where they don't believe in the power of God to do great things in their life. That's why we won't yield ourselves totally to Him. Because we wonder about His power. We know it theologically. We know the power's there. We just don't know, what do you mean by this, Lord, if I sacrifice? Am I going to get anything for this? Can you really heal my marriage with such a small act? Can you really heal my finances with such a small act? And He says, you don't know the power of God. God can do great things through an obedient life.
In today's message, Pastor Troy teaches us the importance of having a heavenly focus. He encourages us to trust God's power to heal and to create new life in the broken areas of our lives. We can do this by putting God first in our life. Our God will do amazing things when we align our priorities with His. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
If you want to play by the economy, then you need to live by the economy. And if they say with their money that they created for their economy, pay taxes, then He says, render that to them, it's theirs. It's their game, not yours. But I earned it. Yeah, you earned it on their terms. They said, you earned it, you can spend it, here's the pay rate. Oh, give us a pay raise, give us a pay raise. All right, well, raise the... You earned it on their terms. You're asking them for help. So when they say pay taxes, they say, He says, pay taxes. So, He's basically telling them, that's their system. Render to them what's theirs. Give it to them. Be a good citizen. Be honest. Have integrity. And pay what you owe, the required taxes. If you're one of those who is against taxes, don't look in the Bible to find a God who's against your paying taxes. God's not on your side. In fact, in Romans chapter 13, Paul writes, New Testament, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, yes, we have some corrupt authorities and some corrupt governments, many of them in our country especially, we vote in. So we need to be careful there. We need to know the agendas. We need to know the people. We vote corrupt government in now because we are no longer standing on godly principles. We are corrupt ourselves. And so if they have the programs I want, I'm voting for him. Who cares if he's corrupt? He's going to bring that program in that I want and that I need. And so we vote them in. So corruption breeds more corruption, votes for corruption. And so we have what we have. A system of government that we all hate, but we all vote for and continue to empower. Therefore, it says, verse 2 in Romans chapter 13, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So he uses the government, he uses government, police forces, those things, not individuals, vigilantes, but government to patrol and to enforce good behavior so that we'll all get along. He knows that we won't. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Therefore, render to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So that's our Lord's word to us on whether or not we should pay taxes. But Jesus doesn't stop with the question on taxes. He then says, and render to God the things that are God's. Since we're thinking in terms of owing what we should owe based upon that economy, let's talk about God's economy and what we should give to Him. Just as the coin bears the image of Caesar, so you, my friend, bear the image of God. You belong to Him. He created you. So we are to give Him what is rightfully His. What is that? Not the coin, but us, the person. How do we give ourselves to Him? In service, obedience, in a willingness to trust Him, in worship. Is it hard for you to gather like this in corporate worship? Is this like something, I just can't make it today, I just can't go? Is it hard for you to gather in corporate worship? Because the Scripture says, do not forsake the assembling together. So it's not this go out and worship God on the mountain by yourself, but gather together and don't forsake the gathering. And He says, all the more as you see the day approaching, we ought to want to gather together in corporate worship. How about praying and time to pray, setting it aside? Do you find that you push it aside? You don't have time for that? Let me ask you this. Whose time is it that you're spending? What about giving, serving, using your gifts? Whose are these? Like these belong to you? I don't agree with the government. I don't agree with how they're spending, so I shouldn't pay them or pay my taxes. That's not what He said. The idea is if you want to use their currency, if you want to be involved in their system, then support the government. He never told Israel, only pay if you agree with the sacrifice system. He said, no, bring my tithes so that the storehouse is full. It's not about what we want, what we think, what we agree with. It's about submission to the Lord. Are we willing to let go and stop controlling everything and trust Him so we pay our taxes? We give to the church. We serve the church, in the church at large. We serve the church, the people. We use our gifts. And what about worship? What do you do during worship? Do you worship? Do you come in? Do you get here in time for worship? Because God is due simple adoration. Yes, your attention and your desire to learn about Him, that's great too. But He is also deserving of, He is holy, and He requires a time of your adoring Him in worship. I don't like adoring Him. It feels funny. It's not about how you feel. Not about what you think about singing. It's about standing in adoration of Him. The stones would have cried out on that if the others had not. We should cry out in worship to Him. It should be the desire of our heart. Taxes are temporary, but the kingdom of God, that's forever. And the Scripture says that we are to invest in that kingdom. That's the kingdom that we're to invest everything we have into. So we need to live with integrity in the world we live in. We need to remember that we belong to a kingdom that we owe our lives to. And Jesus silences the Pharisees with the Herodians. Now, the Sadducees. Verse 23. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Him, asked Him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. Now, The last one was a question that was insincere. This one you could call a question without knowledge. They don't have clear understanding when they ask this question, or they wouldn't have asked it. The Sadducees, as we said earlier, were not very religious. They only accepted the first five books of Moses, the Torah. And it's from the Torah, from the first five books of Moses, in Deuteronomy, that they get the idea or the basis for their question. It's the law of the levirate marriage. It sounds weird to us, but the idea was this. God had given land and inheritance, and he wanted everyone to have that land. And so he didn't want anyone's name to be blotted out. So if someone died, they didn't have a son, then they were to have a child. And so if they're in your family, they're now this wife, she's part of your family. And if her husband dies, a brother is supposed to come for that brother to represent him and take her in, take care of her, because in those days, it wasn't like today, get married, get divorced, oh well, premarital pleasure, whatever you want to call it. We've got children in here, so I got to watch for my words, but it's like an in and out thing now. And it was never intended to be that way. And in that culture, it was, once you were in, you were used up, you had violated yourself, no one else would have you. And so you were brought in, and because no one else would have you, the brother would take you and care for you as a wife. And the first child born in that relationship would be the brother's heir, so that the brother's name could continue, so the brother's land allotment and his inheritance could continue. And it was very, very important in Israel. So they say, all right, this is something very important. We know this is in the law. But they're also a group that doesn't believe in the resurrection. They were Sadducees. That's how you can remember they were Sadducees. They did not believe in things like the supernatural, angels, spirits, a resurrection. They didn't believe in any of that. So their question is this. All right, with this law, and if he marries seven, if there's a resurrection, that's a great question. Let's go ask Jesus. And so they go to ask Jesus, thinking they have gold. This is going to make the idea of resurrection look dumb. God gave us this law. So important. So they ask Jesus. And Jesus answers, verse 29. He answered and said to them, you are mistaken. It's like your question is totally in error. Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. In the resurrection, they are neither married nor given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, and this was in the Torah also, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. The second thing you won't see in heaven is marriage. And that is to one another. Now, obviously, there's the picture of marriage, that we will be the bride of Christ. But no, you will not be a forever family, as is taught in the Mormon church. It's a great concept. It's a great idea. If you have a good family, then, you know, it's like, oh, but I want my little family. But that's not the way it's going to be. Our relationship with one another is going to be totally different in heaven. Our understanding of the relationship we experience with one another here will be full and complete, and we will have a totally different kind of relationship with each other in heaven, because Christ will be everything for us. This is a scripture that's caused many a people anxiety, where it says, in heaven they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. Because the singles often read this scripture and get a sense of urgency. We gotta get married. It only happens on earth. And so they get in a hurry, rush into some bad decisions. Couples, usually the wives, will ask, why won't we be married? I just dealt with someone and spent time talking to someone about why they won't be husband and wife in heaven. Although there are some who are married that read this scripture and go, man, I can't wait till we get to heaven. Love you, honey, but you're not my wife in heaven. So. But listen, marriage is a relationship between two needy people. If marriage were the standard and part of God's law and God's perfect will in earth, Jesus would have gotten married to set the example for us. Maybe God would have a wife, Mrs. God, but we don't have that example set for us. So God said that it is not good for man to be alone. It wasn't that he made a mistake creating only one. Whoa, how are we going to have kids now? He just said, you know, it's not good that man be alone. He's needy. He needs someone. He needs someone with skin on him. And so we have the relationship. Now we have marriage. Now for Adam and Eve, that was very important because there were no other humans. So that was a very important relationship. Today, there are some who have the gift of being single because we have relationships, we have friendships, we have family, there are many relationships, so we don't have to be alone. Marriage isn't the only relationship, but there are many who can't handle that. And so for that, God says, better to marry than to burn. Marriage is a very important relationship, but it's not one that goes to heaven with us, because it is a relationship based upon two needy people. And in heaven, we will not be needy like we are here. And notice Jesus tells them that in the resurrection, they will be like angels of God in heaven. He's kind of making a knock on what they believe. He's basically saying, I know you don't believe in angels, but they're going to be like angels, which do exist and are in heaven. And then he uses the term like angels. They'll be like angels. Notice the term like. It's very important because you will not become an angel. No one will become an angel. That's not what we become in heaven. There are many wrong philosophies, and I know people who subscribe to these philosophies, that we will become angels. I've heard those. When I was a kid, I remember they would take this bone here, whatever bone that is, and they would say, that's your wing. When you go to heaven, that's going to be your wing. And then it comes out, and you know, you're a kid, and you're like, really, huh? How big are my wings going to be? You know, and you're doing all the measurements and stuff. That's not what that bone is. We don't return to angels. We don't become angels. We don't have the wings. There's no every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. None of that's true. That doesn't happen. And besides, we don't want to be angels. We in heaven will be greater than the angels. Do you realize that? Angels are simply ministering servants, but we are the apple of God's eye. We don't want to be angels. Angels are below us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read, do you not know that we shall judge angels? That was Paul writing to the church when they were taking all their court cases to other people. And he says, you're the church. Stop taking cases to the courts. You got the Word of God. You've got the Spirit of God. You guys can judge angels one day. You should be able to judge these things, these matters. In Hebrews 1, we read about the angels. Are they not all ministering spirits set forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? They serve us. We are the ones who inherit salvation. And about Jesus in Hebrews 2, it says of Jesus, you have made him, Jesus, a little lower than the angels. It's like, how low can you go? He didn't say a little lower than man. He said lower than even the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. In other words, Jesus came and he came in such a low way that his service was below that of the angels. He came to die death on a cross as a human. That was his service. But that he took him and set him on the right hand of the Father. So marriage is not forever, but heaven is. And it's in heaven. It's heaven that we're called to live for. That's why getting consumed with relationships on this earth, it's not the priority. God is the priority. To be consumed with the things that are for this world only should not be the priorities. But putting God first in everything is the priority, or we get out of balance and we set a bad example when we have wrong priorities. One of the worst priorities you could set for your children is to put them before the Lord. That's the worst example you could give. Because then they take this idea, they grow up and they think everything's about them. Everything should cater to me. And though you never say it, and though you may even say the opposite, it's not what you do. It's not what they see. It's not what they experience. And so they need to be taught from the very beginning that God comes first. This is why we offer. This is why we do with less. This is why we have to do this. It's not a have to. We want to honor the Lord. And they learn how to sacrificially trust and follow the Lord. And they also learn how God provides and blesses that, those sacrifices. Jesus says two things about the Sadducees. One, they don't know the Scriptures. Because if they did, they would have realized that in their Torah, God always used the present tense when he said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus' point is, he said, I am the God. Not, I was the God when they were alive of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but there's a sense that they are alive, they are resurrected, and he's still their God. So you missed over that one, the idea of a resurrection. And two, they don't know the power of God. The God that they believe in, who created everything, they believe in the beginning God, but they deny his power. The resurrection. You're saying God can create, but you're saying that he can't resurrect. So many live a life where they don't believe in the power of God to do great things in their life. That's why we won't yield ourselves totally to him. Because we wonder about his power. We know it theologically. We know the power's there. We just don't know. What do you mean by this, Lord, if I sacrifice? Am I going to get anything for this? Can you really heal my marriage with such a small act? Can you really heal my finances with such a small act? And he says, you don't know the power of God. God can do great things through an obedient life. The power of God has life to create, the ability to create even life. To resurrect it. To know the power of God, you got to know the Word of God, and the Scriptures are what reveal him, his will, his ways, his character. And maybe today you have some questions of your own. If they are sincere questions, I guarantee you your answers are right here in the Word of God. If you'll look, they're there. So two notes that we want to take from these two questions. You want to live in this economy? Then pay the price of living in the economy. Pay your taxes. Pay your bills. Live right. Live an honest life. But remember to give God what is his. Honor him with the first fruits of everything that you have. No strings attached. Give it to God. And then believe in the Lord and the power of his resurrection. He is able to create life, and he is able to bring back to life. Don't think that anything is close to death, because he can bring you back to life. He can bring that situation back to life. So let's trust him.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.